KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunathchish, Hawa, Toksknusum, Salama. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on KTO's YouTube at kto.org/JPMLive or on the Instagram and Facebook pages of KTOO. Get an inside look here in the studio. Coming up on this Wednesday, October 15th, as the season turns to fall, we wrap up the Garden Talk series with UAF Cooperative Extension Agent Darren Snyder, who shares what to do to wind down and what to do over those winter months. Also, we learn about the Capital Kennel Club of Juneau, who just had a fun dog show at the Juneau Pioneer Home, plus look at their work in socializing and training dogs here in Juneau and how you can participate. Those conversations plus our living lands and a really cool Tongass Voices coming up this hour on Juneau Afternoon.
Hanson Gress, Ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikak gunish cheesh.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kakwan Ish George Davis. And the word this week is chacht.
Chacht.
That means halibut. And here is a sentence.
Chacht. A go ce.
They cooked halibut for them all to eat. Let's hear it again.
Chuck.
Halibut. Ganesh Cheesh to Rene Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kahuan Ish, George Davis was Takdain Tan and the child of a Tsagwedi man. He grew up in Qiq, Cake, Alaska, and learned to speak well because he would always bring traditional foods to the elders there. As someone who fished a lot and spent time on the land, he knew Tlingit place names all over the area, and he learned many stories and advanced ways of speaking.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support comes from Juneau Compost, recycling the community's food scraps and yard debris into compost since 2017. Serving households, businesses, offices, and more with curbside collection and drop-off options. Online at junocompost.com.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, October 15th, and on this day back in 1918, page 2 of the Alaska Juneau Douglas Island News reported the passing of Chief Anaklahash. It was said that he was the son of a long line of chiefs and wore the mantle of chiefhood with grace and dignity. His passing was thought to have severed the last link connecting the present day in Alaska with the olden times in this locality. That's a look back at this day in 1918.
You can catch Mike Lane every morning right here on KTO during Morning Edition, starting at 5:45 a.m. Monday through Friday. You are listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.org, KTO 104.3 Juneau, and 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube page. Welcome to the 2025 series finale of Garden Talk. I'm Boston Christopher. As we conclude this season, we have with us UAF Cooperative Extension Agent Darren Snyder, who has been our wonderful guest all season long on Garden Talk. Gunathchish, Ha'iyudi, thank you so much, Darren. How are you today? Wasiyati.
I'm doing well. Thank you. Wasiyati to you.
Excellent. So we have covered a bevy of topics this season. We've talked a lot about prepping for the cold and the fall, but now we're getting to the wrap up, and then we got to figure out what we got to do over the winter. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, because we do have our winter here. It's coming, but the next growing season is right around the corner, and so I do want to kind of emphasize that today. Couching this one is reflect and prep.
Reflect and prep. Okay, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, because as we reflect on this last year's efforts and results, it's a good time to kind of find out what worked, what didn't, and to just kind of like take a moment, take a breath after that, but then kind of start looking to the future. So, you know, I like to kind of think about just, you know, the G word, the gratitude for what has come, what we've had, what we do have. And then just kind of like, you know, your future self is out there, your future gardens are out there. So let's do those as best as we can.
I had some folks on Juno Afternoon a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about this idea of reflection and looking back and thinking about, okay, what went well, what didn't go so well. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, in your own personal gardening, did you have any successes and or really fun, you know, learning opportunities, I think we came to call them?
Yeah. So many things grew really well. And as a person, my personal gardening efforts, I honestly don't aim that high because I try things that don't succeed, of course. But my standbys, I love nasturtiums. We had just a multifold explosion of nasturtiums out this year, and it's something that I want to encourage people to do because they are so easy and they're so successful. And if you haven't been having success with nasturtiums, and I'm going to just kind of lean on that a little bit this whole time, please do contact me. We have lots of opportunities. I can share lots of information with you on this. And it's hard to hear when people are like, I couldn't quite get that. How do you get them like that? And because a lot of times it's an easy solution, maybe feeding it more. That's a lot of times with the nasturtiums. Making sure that I honestly have a nutrient solution that I will add to them every time I water them, because we get so much rain that, especially if they're in a pot, that rain's just going to wash away those nutrients. We're going to get small leaves. We're going to get meager plants and not as many blooms.
I didn't even think about that with all the rain that it would wash away the nutrients like that. Really, you mentioned contacting you. We'll do it again at the end, but why don't you let us know too right now, what's the best way to find you and the Cooperative Extension?
Yeah, you can Google at Juno Cooperative Extension Service. You can email me, darren.snyder@alaska.edu, so darren.snyder@alaska.edu, or our phone number, 907-523-3280.
Great. We'll give it out again at the end, but I just figured right now while people are thinking about it, give them another opportunity to write it down if they missed a letter or two later.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And so
as you were talking about, we have covered some of these things to prepare, and I tried to kind of lay that down pretty thick over the last few weeks. But go ahead and I understand that on the Garden Talk website, you put a link in there to like how to prepare for fall and winter. Mm-hmm. We have a nice publication from Extension with that. And just kind of try and envision what's it going to be like for your gardens out there through the winter, through the snow, the ice, the rain, the wind, and how are these things going to weather? There's a lot of questions. There's not an exact way to do a lot of this stuff. It depends what your goals are and what your experiences have been. I was just talking to a lady. I get a lot of calls from throughout the state, and this lady from Homer, and she was wondering, should I mulch my strawberries? Should I add materials? Because she was starting to experience slugs, which we all are very familiar with here. And so the question is, well, do I protect my soil and all the benefits from that, or do I create this environment which may actually also protect the slugs? And so there's just kind of way-offs. And so you kind of got to, you know, just consider these things, consider what your practices are, your goals are, and go from there.
Is there differences between, you know, obviously we're talking about different things. Some of it's, you know, flowers and things like that, plants, things, shrubs that you're growing around your place. But then also there's the food that you might be growing as well. And do those things require similar, prep to work on, or do you have to think about them a little bit differently?
Similar but differently.
Okay, same but different.
Yeah. Just one example of that is even the perennials, which are the ones that grow year after year. Mm-hmm. We have woody perennials, which are more shrubs and bushes and stuff, but we also have herbaceous perennials. Those are the ones that all the top plant material rots away or what have you. And that would be the most obvious one is rhubarb, where both of those, whether it's a shrub or an herbaceous perennial, they need to have care to be able to make it through the winter, but they require different ways of tending them.
Okay.
But annuals, which is a lot of what I kind of go to when I'm thinking about a garden, a lot of people think about a vegetable garden, and those are usually annual plants that we've, either planted the seed directly or we've transplanted it in the spring in hopes that it's going to race, do what it's supposed to do, grow a good plant, make a good flower, make a good fruit, if that's the case that you're going for, or, a lot of our root vegetables to develop a nice storage root that we can eat immediately or store for later. So it all just depends on that. So on the piece of like reflection, having a garden journal is something I just like to emphasize. And there's no wrong time to start a garden journal. If you haven't, then just get a cheap, little composition book and just put in today's date and start writing down what you did this last summer. Whatever you can remember that worked, that didn't work, what varieties you used, what you planted where, what fertilizers you used, if you used any, and how did things go? How did your garden perform? What successes did you have that you want to repeat? And what do you want to try differently? There are lots of different varieties of plants. If that carrot wasn't quite sweet enough, maybe you should ask around a little bit and see what other carrot varieties there are, because there are many different varieties of these things. Mm-hmm. If you're wanting to consider doing anything different in the coming year, now's the time to start looking while there's no snow on the ground and going, oh, maybe it'd be nice to have a bed there. You go put yourself in that spot and look around, maybe even have a little compass on your phone. And if you don't know where the sun is coming from, and make sure that it's got enough southern facing light that, that seems like a good area and stuff like that. Just kind of take a moment to get yourself outside still and look at what you might want to do to change your yard or whatever. Because as we know, if you're going to do any building projects, you're going to want to get that going sooner than later as far as the design and ordering materials if it's a larger job, so that things are actually going to happen next summer.
And you want, I totally agree on the journal, because if you write all that stuff down too, you're thinking about it, stuff you reflected on and the things you may want to do. A, you don't have to remember it so much. Yeah. But B, I think writing it down also just kind of helps solidify what happened. And, you may not even refer back to the journal necessarily, mm-hmm. but you'll remember it a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I do love the sort of planning to think about, okay, what would I be doing, especially like you said, before we get too much snow or it gets too dark or whatever, you can kind of look around and be like, what do I want to change, right? What do I want to do differently next year based upon what I learned from this summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and there are things to do even during the winter, in addition to some of your just thoughts and planning and ordering seeds and stuff like that. And some people a lot of people have gotten into hydroponic growing. So there are lots of opportunities to grow indoors, and it doesn't have to be a really expensive unit or anything like that. I can help people to figure out, hey, I just want to do some trays of greens. You can do that pretty cheaply, and you can have fresh greens and other plants. Or if you want to do indoor composting, doing worm composting, doing a worm bin, or there's another method, the Korean bokashi compost method. But there are different things you can do indoors also to kind of satisfy your growing bug and get a little bit of fresh stuff over the winter.
Cool.
As well. Yeah, I'd also like to just kind of as I was thinking about this, I was reflecting on we get into a lot of what do I do with my garden? What? And but so much of what we do is the who you know, we're very social creatures. And so I was kind of thinking about this and like, who do you need to thank for supporting you and your successes this year? Mm. Did somebody give you a tip? Did somebody help shovel the garden or what have you? Did somebody share their produce with you? That's a good thing to do, especially when it's a dark, windy, dark day. You know, it's kind of like thinking, well, you know, what do I have to feel good about around my garden?
Exactly. And for those that may be doing this alone, too, I think it's mm-hmm. also there's these great organizations that you can look
Absolutely.
Into that are in Juneau, the Juneau Garden Club. There's yeah. other people, the Master Gardeners, like yeah. all the folks who have the community plots out yeah. at the community garden. You're not alone in your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Even if you feel like you might be sometimes because you're a big failure. And it's fun to share. Like the two ladies I had on the show a couple weeks ago, they were sharing about it and being able to have somebody call and find out, you know, what they're going through.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. And then also, like you said, to thank those who maybe had some extra soil that you needed in that one moment or whatever it might be. It's a great thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I got to that event, that Juneau Community Garden event, and there are some good stories about how things went well and how things didn't go
yeah.
so well. And so you can all think about that. Who do you want to connect with? Neighbors. A lot of people who garden, they love to share about it, and mm-hmm. so it's just a nice thing to do. It shows your interest in them and building relationships. One of the other things that I just wanted to share is that. Through Cooperative Extension, we offer the Master Gardener course every other year, and we're coming up on this is the year that we're going to be doing that. So if people want to take a course, and the way that we're doing it this year is it's going to be available to be online, I'm going to have a Juneau local contingent. We'll be the ones that are being the lectures that are coming in from elsewhere. We can do kind of a watch party effect synchronously. They're also going to be recorded, be asynchronous. But a lot of what I really appreciate this work is building community and talking with each other and getting our hands dirty together. And so I plan on doing that. And hopefully we're starting that even in this calendar year. So hopefully by the end of November, beginning of December is the goal for us to have that statewide one.
And where can people watch out for that?
Contacting me. If you Google UAF Cooperative Extension, Master Gardener, you can get connected with that.
And so will this series, is it all, I mean, it's every other year you're saying, but is it Juneau specific, like with all the different issues we deal with here in Juneau in terms of gardening and growing?
Yeah, you're right on target with what that's one of my biggest things too, is whenever we have anything statewide or any national programming or anything, we always have to be specific to this Pacific Northwest coastal environment that we have here. And as an instructor with this, I will be guaranteeing that that's going to be our focus. There's fortunately a lot of information which is general enough that we can bring in experts, really deep knowledge from throughout the state to help us with disease diagnosis and some of those other really good geeky things to get into. But when it comes to what does it take to deal with Juneau conditions mm-hmm. and Southeast Alaska conditions, then we'll definitely cover that. And this course, I just want to kind of underline the Master Gardener course specifically is we aim for providing 40 hours of instruction. And then the expectation is that people who do this have the intention of doing 40 hours of service within our community. And that is like a lot of times working with these organizations who do good work in our community or doing things for others. That's the intention of the Master Gardener program, because we do lots of other, as I said, it's an every other year thing, the Master Gardener. During the other years, I'll do other gardening courses as well. And there's just, we're so fortunate here in Juneau and many other Southeast communities to have really generous gardeners, the Garden Club, Master Gardeners and them, who do like the mini workshops and stuff as well. So there are lots of good opportunities to get some of this training. Speaking of the Juneau Garden Club, I always like to tout what I call the Gardening Bible of Southeast Alaska, which is their Gardening in Southeast Alaska book. And so that's something I always love to page through. And no matter how many times, I'm always finding something new. And it's But
I always say if you're new to Juno and you hear about these resources for the first time, I think gardeners are just generally helpful anyway, mm-hmm. And like to help each other out and talk about their stories and what works for them and what doesn't work for them, and especially in this strange environment that we live in here in the rainforest of Juno. But I also think that just the community here is so uplifting, and that all these clubs and the Master Gardeners Association, they're all so supportive. So if you're new, or even if you're new to gardening, reach out to these organizations. They are more than welcoming to you, and we'll gladly have you come into the fold.
Yeah, that's great. And so, with just a few more things to do over the, there still is some time to, if you got to get some bulbs in the ground, the ground's still nice and soft. And so,
it's because it's all the wet.
Yeah, thanks to the wet.
Definitely, it is definitely wet. But it's starting to get colder. I have had it seem dip below freezing a couple nights this last week here.
Yep, fortunately, still on the surface. It's giving us hints. It's not nailing us.
Yeah.
But sometimes we get caught. So I consider myself lucky because I haven't gotten all mine in the ground either.
Yeah.
Got some going in tomorrow and next week as well.
Sure.
Different school gardens.
So we want to move to what else to do over the winter? What do we start to think about?
Yeah. So over the winter, we have sometimes people want to overwinter their fuchsias, begonias, dahlias. Now's the time to be making sure that those are coming in and being properly taken care of. The ones such as the fuchsias, you want to make sure that they're in a cool environment, but that and dark. But one of the mistakes that I make many times is forgetting to keep them moist, and so they'll dry out. So you need to keep the soil moist enough that it's not going to just desiccate the whole plant, because it will, and it'll die over the winter. And so, we have so many areas that we could focus on. For the folks who are planning on growing their own starts next year, make sure you have those materials ready and at your access. A lot of times we'll store things and they'll be covered in snow or hidden behind that thing and hard to access. But just plan for a year. Again, be nice to your future self. And when February rolls around or what have you, depending on what you're wanting to start, you want to have access to your trays, your pots, your soil, your starting soil, have your seeds, have your lights. And so now's the time to really thinking about getting next season started up well with your garden starts. That's one thing. I've been drooling over some of the giant beds of carrots that I've been seeing people be successful with. I'm like, wow, I think I want to be that. I want the next year. I want to make sure that I just have too many carrots. And so that's one of my goals next year. And so you can look me up on that one. See how I already actually bought the seeds. So I'm going to be planting, 1,000 plus seeds next year.
Whoa, really?
Not all for me, but projects and all that kind of thing. I love to see it. I mean, honestly, I was just going by the Saik Gastineau School and seeing all the beautiful children out there tending the beds with Joel Boss, and their beds full of carrots are just like
wonderful,
so great. And I've just been hearing and the kids being able to bite into a fresh carrot is just such a success, and it's so excellent. And if you have a garden to get started, JD High School just got some garden beds started. People can see those along the highway as you go by the high school. Dave Kovach with his classes have got those going. We planted some garlic in there, got some soil from Lisa with Juno Compost, and it's all coming together. It's all just you know,
nice.
Grow.
Well, give us one more shout out to where we find you, where we find, because I know on the Cooperative Extension website, there is tons of articles you can read over the winter. You can get ready for things that you might want to be planning. Like if you're trying to do carrots, you can read up on it, do a little research. But give us again how we reach out to you.
Yeah. How about you just give me a call? 907-523-3280.
There you go. That's the number to reach out to Darren. You can also just Google and or put into your favorite search engine, UAF Cooperative Extension Juneau, and you will find their website and all the different there's so many cool things on there. But Darren, thank you for this season of Garden Talk. It was a pleasure to have you on here. You can look for other episodes of Garden Talk that I haven't been able to put up on the website at KTO yet. We'll put those up before October is over here. So you can also listen to those over the winter and get prepped. And you can also go back to other episodes of Garden Talk because there's things that happen every year. There's definitely recycles renewable cycles that happen every year. But that's going to do it for Garden Talk for 2025. Really appreciate you being here. You can go to kto.org/gardentalk or put into your favorite search engine, the UAF Cooperative Extension Juneau. Darren, really appreciate you being here. Thanks so much.
All right. Gashish.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Across the country, critical minerals are in increasingly high demand for green technology and national defense, but many of those minerals are being mined or processed on Indigenous lands. In the first of a three-part series, KOSU's Sarah Lisi reports on a nickel refinery in Oklahoma facing pushback from three tribal nations.
Flat land stretches around Westwind elements. The nickel refinery is guarded by fencing and a rutted dirt road in Oklahoma's sixth largest city called Lawton. It's also a 5-minute drive to a historic Comanche church established in the 1890s called the Dio Mission.
This church and this building and this land has been here a long time, dedicated to the Lord.
Kathleen Tehi is the lay minister of the church, located on the Kiowa Comanche Apache Reservation, known as the KCA. The reservation is in southwest Oklahoma and was most recently ruled as disestablished by a state court in 2021. But many tribal citizens say it lives on.
We're protectors of the land, of the air, the communities that we serve.
Westwind's plant produces high-purity nickel that can be used in aerospace and defense tech, electric cars and phone batteries, and stainless steel. It utilizes the MOND process, which involves carbon monoxide and nickel carbonyl, and is highly dangerous. Tehi and others in the area worry about what this could mean for their community. She's not alone. During a heated Comanche Nation business meeting in February of 2024, some spoke up, including Tribal Historic Preservation Officer Martina Minthorn.
Once they go into full refinery, that's going to be very close to Dio Mission. I went to Standing Rock 4 times. It's going to be right here in our own backyard.
During that meeting, the committee passed a resolution opposing the plant until an environmental assessment is conducted. Some citizens also accused Chairman Mark Wumavoya of selling them out because of his unauthorized endorsement of Westwind Elements during a Lawton City Council meeting. But Wumavoya says,
I did not approve anything. The city of Lawton approved this. It was the city of Lawton land. It wasn't Comanche land. It wasn't my land.
Wumavoya was eventually censured and replaced. The Kiowa and Apache tribes passed similar resolutions to that of the Comanche Nation, citing a lack of consultation. But despite tribal opposition, Westwind Elements began operations, holding a ribbon-cutting ceremony in August of 2024. And a couple of things helped move the needle forward.
The Lawton community did come up with a very incentivizing incentives package.
That's Kaylee Long, the CEO of Westwind Elements.
We support rigorous environmental standards, but we certainly wanted a process that wasn't bureaucratic. And what we found in the state of Oklahoma and the locality of Lawton is that it was an efficient process.
Long says she met with leaders from the Comanche and Kiowa tribal nations and did not expect the local pushback. She believes the indigenous-led coalition, Westwind Resistance, helped stir an uprising of opposition. Yet, in the face of dissent, Long and the startup have pushed forward. In December, the plant produced its first sample of nickel powder, and they're one step closer to their next goal.
We are nearing final site selection decision on our commercial plant.
But some resistance in the KCA community remains. Back at the Dio Mission Church, they're praying for healthy land and people, while others, like Westwind Resistance, demand answers about the refinery's environmental impact and how this could potentially impact future generations. For KOSU, I'm Sarah Lisi.
This story is supported by Earth Journalism Network. Next week, in the second of this three-part series, Sarah examines the history of the indigenous lands where the refinery resides. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kuwanic Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Capital Kennel Club of Juno supports responsible dog ownership and enhances the relationship between people and their dogs through training, sporting activities, and socialization. And I am joined in studio now by Joanne Flora. Gwyneth Cheesh, Haigudi, thank you so much for coming in, Joanne. Well, it's nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you so much for letting me come in.
Of course. I can't wait to hear about the Capital Kennel Club of Juno. My mother showed dogs when I was a kid, and we were always the American Kennel Club. She was always a member of that, and you know, you have to register your dogs and do all the things that she had to do. So it'll be fun to hear about the Capital Kennel Club. Now, you just had a really cool dog show at the Pioneer Home, right? Tell us a little bit about that.
We did, and from what I understand, it is probably only the second dog show that the Kennel Club has done. They've not done one since I've been here. And because I have a family member at the Pioneer Home and I take my dog in every time I go.
Oh, sure.
And everybody wants to meet my dog.
So, what kind of dog do you have?
She is a 60-pound husky mix.
Oh, my gosh.
And she is an AKC certified canine good citizen, I want you to know.
Okay, I like that.
So she meets people and she's happy to be involved in things. And I'd be walking through the rooms on my way to see Bob, and I'd hear people go, "Oh, look, there's Rainy. Hi, Rainy." That's my dog's name,
yeah.
Right? And so I said to the activities director one day, I said, "What do you think about if we ever did a dog show here? Would that be interesting to the residents?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, they would love that." So I talked to the board and got it all set up. And we had it was on the 11th. We had five dogs and their handlers.
Okay.
And each group, each pair, did something a little bit different.
Okay.
So it wasn't just like watching the same dogs going back and forth kind of a thing. And it was so well received. And the handlers and the dogs had a great time. And the residents loved it. And last I heard is, you guys would do that again, wouldn't you?
so right.
I don't. Maybe it's an opportunity to have an annual event.
That would be cool,
right?
Are there any actual like certified dog shows in Juneau?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Now, what we do in Juneau that falls under higher auspices would be the United Kennel Club has partnered with the Capital Kennel Club of Juneau, and so we do registered training and trial events.
Okay.
We're doing nose work trials.
I see.
And that's really fun for the dogs because you can do it anytime, any place, and
yeah.
It doesn't take special equipment.
That's
so,
really cool. It'd be great for like here in Juneau, like outdoors and stuff.
Or
too.
Indoors,
right? Too,
indoors,
yeah.
Outdoors. We
yeah.
do it all over the place, and
that's kind of cool.
We don't always go to the same place. Sometimes we go here. Sometimes we go there, and just
yeah.
have a good time.
Well, that's wonderful. If you want to learn more about this, we're going to talk a little bit about the history here in a second. But you can go to CKCOJ. That's the Capital Kennel Club of Juneau. CKCOJ.org. You can find out the schedule of events, all the things that we're going to talk about here on the show. You can find there in terms of schedules and things if you miss anything. That's ckcoj.org. So, Joanne, maybe tell us just a little bit about the history of the Capital Kennel Club, how it got started, and all the kinds of things that you work on.
I know that it started in 1989,
mm-hmm.
and it was designed to promote and encourage, people and pets, folks and their dogs, activities, and responsible dog ownership. In 1993, we did become affiliated with the United Kennel Club, the
mm-hmm.
UKC, and that way we can do licensed events.
Okay.
And dogs can actually move up in stature, in ranking.
Mm-hmm.
So you start out with no rankings at all, and you finish X number of things at the novice level, and then you move to an advanced level, and then you could move to a premier level or an expert
right.
level.
Right.
No, and you can
yeah.
actually increase. So if you're doing something here in Juneau, and then you decide you're going to move someplace else, you're
mm-hmm.
going to retire, or you're going to take a job in another state, and there's a UKC opportunity there, you arrive with your accomplishments already, your certifications.
Oh,
and you don't
okay.
have to start from scratch if there's another UKC opportunity.
Right, that's cool.
So we've been doing it with nose work trials primarily. What's really nice about that is it doesn't take special equipment. You don't have to haul things. Like if you do agility, you're always hauling things, setting things up. It can be a lot of, it can be a lot of work. Some of the agility pieces are fairly, I don't want to say they're difficult to move, but they're like the ramp, the A-frame.
Ramps, yeah, the tunnel things probably.
Tunnels are easy. They fold up and you muscle them around. But like the A-frame
is quite
high and quite heavy. But nose work is easy in that regard, and you can set it up with almost nothing.
Okay.
Because the dogs learn to find things wherever you put them.
Mm.
There are X number of scents. You start with, a small handful of scents in the beginning, and as you increase your skill level and your dog's skill level, you add scent.
Mm-hmm.
The dog learns to do what's called handler discrimination. The dog learns to find your scent as the owner in a series of boxes that may or may not contain other scents.
Mm.
And so I take Rainey to an HD trial, and I say, okay, find mom. Where's mom?
Mm.
Go find mama, right? And so she's got to sniff the boxes or whatever, looking for the glove that I put in the box.
Ah, I see. Okay.
So that's very interesting. One thing I noticed about my dog is sometimes when we're doing this, there will be gloves that belong to other people in the club. And she knows those scents. So she'll find everybody from
yeah.
the club in the boxes. So it's helpful to use the scent of people who are not members.
Right.
So handler discrimination. And then we hide them all over the place. You can hide them on the floor, off the floor, in other kinds of things. I set up a practice one time where I took all kinds of gift bags of different types, different sizes, and some of them had scent in them and some of them did not, and spread them around. And then the dogs had to find the scent in this series of gift bags. Some had flowers in them once upon a time.
Mm.
Some had nothing with any scent at all really in it once upon
mm-hmm.
a time. And so you can get very creative and without having to figure out how am I going to get this A-frame,
from
the trailer to the event. Do I have help setting it up? So it takes a lot of the stress and the lifting off of the participants.
So it seems like the Capital Kennel Club focus, you know, sort of on etiquette, ownership, the relationship between you and your dog, and then as well as training, right?
And so, responsibility for your dog. For your dog, you know. Yeah. Do you walk your dog on a leash? Does your dog have good recall? Will your dog follow commands? Does your dog know hand signals?
Right.
One of the things I did with Rainey at the trial is I went through a series of hand signals. So I didn't have to say, sit down, do this, do that. I could make a hand signal, and she knew what to do. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, which is good, because if you start a young dog with words and hand signals, then they learn faster and they learn a bigger picture.
Right.
So, for example, if I've got Rainey off leash somewhere and we're heading out in the middle of nowhere or through the woods and I do this, she knows we're going in that direction. I don't have to say, Rainey, go this way.
She just knows the hand gesture of putting the hand up and pointing in the direction.
She's also whistle trained. So if she's way out across the wetlands, I can blow this whistle, and then I make a great big gesture, and that's come.
She knows.
She knows. Because she can't hear me.
Right. At that point,
She runs like her butt's on fire. So, I have to be careful about that.
And I know that, obviously, this is just, I know, for many people who, one of the biggest pet peeves, right? What's the biggest pet peeve? People don't clean up after their dog on the trails, right? Is there any rules around the etiquette of that? What do you tell people about that?
Oh, we totally promote that.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, every coat I own has dog poop bags in the pockets. It's true.
Yeah.
And I've got extra rolls in the car. And, you know, sometimes dogs are strays.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the owner is looking in one direction and the dog is over here doing something and you don't see it.
Right.
Some people are totally irresponsible.
Yeah.
It's a combination of things. But the Kennel Club always promotes not only taking care of your dog, but being responsible to your community.
Yeah. I feel like if you're on a trail, right, and it's on the edge of the trail, you would want to make an effort. Obviously, if the dog goes off in the woods and does business, you're not going to go and get that. But if you're in the path of where the community is,
definitely,
that seems to be something that you would want to be mindful
of. Well, sometimes the dogs get, like, out into the trees and the scrub brush, and they're in places I'd need a machete to get through.
Yeah, and you wouldn't need to do that probably anyway.
I'm going to tell you, I don't.
Yeah.
But if it's anywhere nearby where other people could see it, walk in it, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I am religious about – and I clean up after other dogs too.
Yeah.
Not because I'm being critical of the other owners.
Because you have doggy bags.
Because
in
I have
coat.
Doggy bags in every pocket of that I have, yes.
So is the Capital Kennel Club of Juneau, is it a member thing, or can I just take one class, or how does that work?
It is a membership.
Okay.
And there are varying levels of membership. You can have a family membership, an individual membership, you know, the senior membership or, you know, that kind of a thing. There are different levels. And it's really emphasized that if you want to take classes, you should be a member. And everything that we do that's open to the public is open to the members before non-members.
Okay.
But
so I could take a class without being a member if I wanted to.
You know, I think you can. And
but they probably fill up because people are members. Right?
The membership classes fill. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
well, for example, like there's one class I'm doing. There's only like 5 people in a class.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small class. There are other classes that are quite large.
Okay.
So
just depends on the size. Yeah.
And the membership is not a huge investment.
Right.
But it really helps us. It helps us bring in judges and trainers from UKC, you know, to help us go through these events that we're, you know, working towards certifications at. So
gotcha.
If there's rent for a facility that we're going to use, an indoor facility for a class, it helps us pay rent.
I see. Okay.
It helps us buy ribbons for when we're passing out, you know, awards to people. It's just a useful thing, and it's not unreasonably priced. You can enroll at a membership that works for you.
Great. And what kind of classes do we have? Because I know when I was perusing the website, I saw like puppy training classes, and I saw some other kind of classes. So just give us an example of some of the kind of classes that you all offer.
Puppy training classes that's a really important class.
Mm.
That teaches you not only how to train your dog, but how to understand your dog, how to talk to your dog, and how to build a relationship with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
an example of why that's important is sometimes a family gets a dog, right?
Right.
And so here's this new puppy, and it's really cute, and everybody loves it, and it's jumping all over everybody. And mom says, down. And dad says, off. Mm. And the kid says, leave me alone.
Yeah, right.
Puppy has no idea what you're all talking about.
Right.
It emphasizes language, you know, whatever language you could say, breadbasket.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you use that same word all the time for a very specific purpose, the dog will understand.
Mm.
And you all have to speak the same language, so the puppy will learn faster and be really clear about what's expected. So puppy training teaches you how to talk to your dog. It helps you understand what the dog is really after, what they want, what they need. And then you learn the basics. Sit, stay, heel, come, right?
Mm-hmm.
Down, up. Paw, other paw,
mm-hmm.
high five, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, really, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, basic command. High five isn't so much a basic command, but I teach my dog how to high five. You know?
Sure, it's fun.
You know, and she's so funny because if she really wants to get me engaged in something, so the butt's going 90 miles an hour, and she'll go.
Right.
She'll just start, yeah.
Or trying to get your energy up. Yeah.
Exactly. She'll show me everything she can do.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty kicky.
Beyond the puppy classes, which I know are very important, what other kind of classes are there?
Obedience,
mm-hmm.
which takes what you learn in puppy school a step further.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obedience would focus more on healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to walk with your owner.
Right.
How to heal properly. Right? How to stay when you're told to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, in a class, we might sit the dogs over here, walk across the room, and expect the dogs to stay over there.
Mm.
Or we might sit the dogs over here, leave the room for 30 seconds, a minute, maybe 3 minutes, and then come back in, and we expect the dogs to still be there.
Mm.
That's sometimes hard.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, but they can do it.
Yeah.
They can do it. So they learn skills that are a little bit more formalized,
right,
and more specific.
Yeah,
right?
That's cool.
Healing is important too. How are you going to control your dog, even on a leash walk, if you can't get it to you, with you?
Right. I remember the one thing I learned from some training way back in the day was, you know, because you the dog leads you so much of the time, right? The healing is really important. Like when they learn that they can go out the door ahead of you, like that actually gives them you want to be the one going out the door first, then the dog joins you, as mm-hmm. opposed to like it charging out the door, which it wants to do, of course, because it
party
wants
time.
To go outside.
Yeah.
So is there any... Is there, for those who might be listening or thinking, you know, the holidays are coming up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you decide to get a puppy. You know, you can always go to the Juno Animal Rescue and find somebody who needs a home, that kind of thing. But is there any kind of breed? Let's say you're a family, right? You have some kids. Is there any breeds that you would say, don't get this particular breed for a pet at home with kids?
You know, that is so variable because
yeah.
sometimes it really depends upon the temperament of a dog. How old is the dog? What is the background of the dog?
Mm.
Are you going to adopt a dog that is a couple of years old that has been neglected or abused
mm.
or didn't was just in the garage all the time
right.
or tied out on a line all the time? You know, you need to ask at the shelter, what is the background of the dog? And they are very happy to work with the public to be sure that whatever you either foster to adopt or outright adopt, that it is the right fit for you. Go meet the dog. Go walk the dog. Spend some time at JAR and play with the dog and
yeah.
see how you guys get along, right?
Yeah, that's excellent advice to really ask the questions.
Ask.
It varies, you know, because sometimes you can get a puppy you think is really cute and it's going to grow up to be like a demon dog. You don't know, but you want to research those breeds and figure that out. So are there any, before we have to end here, Joanne, is there any events that you want to, that you have coming up in addition to the classes that you want to mention? Or where can people follow you beyond the website? Is there stuff like on Facebook and things like that?
There is a Facebook page
okay.
and there is the Capital Kennel Club website. We are going to be doing a nose work trial, a UKC nose work trial in November. I believe it's the 14th, 15th, and 16th. It's a nice opportunity if you want to volunteer some time to kind of be around the club and see what happens, see the dogs, see the handlers, see how we work with these animals.
Okay.
And I know of people who have gotten involved with the club just by volunteering at an event to start out with.
Before they even have a dog, maybe.
Or maybe they have one.
Yeah.
But they weren't necessarily members, but they volunteered to help with the trial. Right,
okay.
So maybe their only job was to go out to where the dogs are waiting. Okay, so you're next.
Yeah.
This is where you wait. Stay right here. We'll be back for you. But see what happens. See how it all functions. There's nose work, obedience, agility, rally, which is kind of like, how would I describe rally? It's kind of like, I don't want to say it's an obstacle course, but it's a course you follow and you go to this place and it says, sit your dog and walk around it in a circle. Then you go to the next one, it says, have your dog lay down, walk away and come back. You know, do this, do that. It's kind of a map of behaviors.
Gotcha.
And that's very interesting too. And then scent work, which is like one of the most fun things. And so many people have just totally enjoyed it. And the dogs like it. I tell my dog, say, okay, we're going to school now.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Well, my dog is, dogs are so smart. They're smarter than we think or give them credit for. And if I want to talk to you or anybody else about going to nose work or going to agility and I say those words, my dog is going to go,
right?
So
wake
I
up.
Don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I say school.
Yeah.
So,
oh, interesting.
So, Rainey, let's go to school.
Oh, fine.
And now she's going, yeah, now we're going to go to school, right? But now I can have a conversation with people about these things and she doesn't get all fired up. She doesn't know.
I love it. Well, I'm glad that we got to learn a little bit today about the Capital Kennel Club of Juneau. You can go to ckcoj.org or find them on Facebook. For more information, keep up on the events that are coming up, the classes that are available, the nose work, all that good stuff. What a great club to have in Juneau. Yeah.
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, please.
In addition to welcoming new members, if there's anybody in the listening audience who has any experience doing training of any kind and you'd be interested in getting involved doing some training, we'd like to hear from you. Also, if you live, work, or know of a facility that maybe there's space that we can rent, lease, borrow, use from time to time for classes, particularly when the weather's crappy and we can't get outside.
Right.
We'd like to know about that too, because we're always looking for locations.
Great.
We use schools in the summertime when they're closed, but it gets, and we use Jumbo Gym, we use them.
Yeah.
But we can always use some new opportunities to have a space. So trainers, space, and members.
Reach out to the Capital Kennel Club, ckcoj.org. Thank you, Joanne,
Thank
for coming
you.
In. Really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
For being here. Okay, this up next is this week's Tongass Voices, a series from KTOO sharing weekly perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Tlingit Elder Laura Cropley and Elder in Training George Hawley led dawn prayers at the annual Elders and Youth Conference that wrapped up today in Anchorage. The prayers were from 8 to 9, both Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and they involve singing, dancing, and sharing thoughts. This year, they also led a talking circle about tribal values across Alaska Native nations. This is Tongass Voices.
These are the words of Segege Emma Marks when she shared about an old way of greeting the morning, greeting each other in the morning. And she expressed that. She said all those old peoples would say that again upon us a day has broken. Hey-e-o, 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 hey-e-a, hey-e-o, hey-e-a. Maybe I can share with you the Dena'ina word for dawn prayers. Yitaskun duchadatkani. Dawn is for everybody. The whole earth turns itself towards the sun each morning, and you can hear the animals waking, singing, and it is a time for everyone to enjoy. So dawn prayers is for everybody. It's time for singing. It's time for language. It's time for making connections and really centering ourselves in a healing story.
Well, we all live by some values. We all have values that we live by. And in this particular case, we're going to follow dawn prayers with a tribal value circle. And we're going to talk about how much we love holding each other up, how important it is to show reverence and respect for elders and others. And we're going to spend some time just remembering and renewing our commitment to that way of life.
I don't at all feel like an elder. I'm learning. You know, I'm learning. We all are learning. I mean, that, of course, is the truth. Lori is one of our elders.
How old are you?
55.
Oh, he's a cusp. He's like a cusp. He's elder a young training. Elder. Yeah. I'm 80, so I'm definitely
See?
Claiming.
There you go.
I'm See? Claiming. I'm just recently claiming it.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's hard it's hard to be an elder. There's pressure, there's expectations, sometimes unrealistic. You've maybe haven't been able to practice your language or your lifestyle, like he mentions, early in your childhood. And now here we are, you know, just trying to encourage and hold up others who are really focusing now on language and tribal values. And so, I'm an elder, but that's why this elders and youth conference is so important, working together with the young people who are really coming up in the language and the culture, and the elders who have some history and stories to share. What I found so interesting is that our values are such a way of life that when you ask a group, adults or youth, what are the values that they live by, they can't mention them, they can't verbalize them. And so I found at talking circles about tribal values, it's just like these lights go on, like, we hold each other up, we're reverent, we're respectful. It's just our way of life. We're all just relatives. We're all family. We're all beginning to realize that we have the same needs and wants, want to be seen and heard and respected and held up and loved. So all that kind of disappears in a talking circle because you're sitting shoulder to shoulder.
That's so beautiful, Lori. Gosh. Yeah, it's true. That's all true.
That's Laura Cropley and George Hawley for this week's Tongass Voices. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Local stories, local events, local connection made possible by you via your donation and membership at ktoo.org. Gwyneth Cheesh. On tomorrow's show, a look ahead to this weekend's Roll for Your Life live tabletop role-playing game happening over at Perseverance Theater, plus a preview of this Friday's evening at Egan. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, never more important than now. And Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gwyneth Cheesh, have a lovely Wednesday Juno evening.